Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thank you for calling and joining in to our Blog Talk Radio, the book experience on Our Voice Radio. You have to excuse me, I'm just getting over the flu. That flu is a bad joke. Well, we're still going to, the show goes on. So tonight's show, on Wheelix, and we are still waiting for her to call in the interim. A most perfect, I'm sorry, a most precious gift was a very, very good book. So if you have read the book, I encourage you to chime in, especially this evening, as I want to know what your take of it was. Chime in. And thank you for giving us a little bit of a break last week. I took the whole week off, which was kind of good, but again, I unfortunately have the flu. But Jacqueline Wheelock's book, A Most Precious Gift, deals with slavery and slavery mentality and actually, you know, I thought about it, and I didn't just think about, you know, the slaves and on the plantation, but as I read through the book and read some of the dialogue, I thought that it also dealt with the slavery of the mind and how we enslave ourselves. And so if you've read the book, please, by all means, join us and tell me what you thought about A Most Precious Gift. And give me your take on it. So I'm probably going to call on my friend Dan today, too. And everyone's going to just partake in a little conversation because we weren't scheduled to talk about A Most Precious Gift by Jacqueline Wheelock. And our author has not chimed in yet. So we're going to talk a little bit about our book because I did like the book and I still think that if you have not read it, you should. And Dan, if you are listening, please text me so I can make sure which number you are. And she was learning the ways of the kitchen. And she really was not a house slave, so to speak. She, you know, and most of us know, if you have any history of house slaves and field slaves, you understood that if you were of a darker hue or a darker complexion, then most likely you were a field slave. If you were lighter hue, you can tell that your mother probably had sex with one of those masters, and not by choice. But if you were a lighter hue, you were, of course, a house slave. And so this young lady, Dinah, she was sent to serve in the kitchen, and she had no idea serving and cooking and doing any of that. But that particular kitchen, you know, she made Mama Tavy, made sure she fed everyone and took care of everyone. But there was a particular slave, and actually, I'm sorry, he wasn't a slave. His name was Jonathan. He was actually a free man. And if you were free back in that year, there were some free slaves. If you were free back then you had to carry around, those were cherished with your life. And even in some instances, it didn't even matter that you carried them, because there were actually slave catchers, or I can't remember what they're actually, they do have a name, but they actually came and stole slaves, free or not. If you've seen 12 Years a Slave, then you understand that they even stole freemen. So even if you had those valuable papers, if they stole you and took down to, you know, the southern parts of the country, then it didn't really matter that you were free, because they destroyed your papers, or, you know, they felt that you didn't have family or anything. So they did what they wanted with you. But Jonathan carried around papers. And so what happened is that Dinah was supposed to fry some chicken, and she did not know how to. The grease, I believe, became too hot. And frying the chicken and letting the grease get too hot ensued. And so the grease fire, Jonathan came in, and Dinah was actually, you know, just stuck with the fire. And so she couldn't focus, she couldn't get away. And so Jonathan, who had taken off his coat where he kept his freedom papers, had taken off his coat, and the fire destroyed his coat and, of course, his papers. He didn't tell anyone that his paper, you know, some other things take place. But in the interim, Dinah likes Jonathan, but she really doesn't know how to act around a man. And Jonathan cares for Dinah, but in the back of his mind, she cost him his freedom, literally. She was costing him his freedom. And there were people that were snatching men up. And Jonathan had his, he was a wonderful designed furniture. So he had his own business. He had his own furniture company. And they sought him out, and they actually paid him to do the work. He had his own home, everything. And so there, of course, were, you know, jealous men, slaves alike, who were jealous of this instance. And it just became, but he was very, very nervous. And so he loved Dinah, but at the same token, he was so angry with her because those papers, they were his freedom. And so why I really, really like the story. So if you haven't read it, I'm not going to really delve into it a whole lot, because I think you should read the story. It's very, very good. And so one of the chapters, it said that it talked about Frederick Douglass and how, and this is something that I didn't know. So for you historians and anyone else listening, Dan, and anyone else listening who knows anything about Frederick Douglass, one of the statements made in the book was, did you know Frederick Douglass was free long before he fled slavery, or that he, long before he was no longer a slave? And so one of the things, too, Mama Tavy, I believe, had some papers for some extra. I think she had a copy of, but she wouldn't tell him that she had copies of his freedom papers. The ones he carried around with him really were not his papers. And I think I kind of told you a very crucial part of the story, so I apologize. But she wanted him to understand that freedom was just not in a piece of paper, but freedom was also in your mind. So if you were not free in your mind, whether you walked around freely or not, you're still not free. And so that's what she really, she wanted him to get that, but he was a stubborn male, and so he really didn't grasp that concept until, you know, I really don't think that he grasped it until it was almost too late. But she wanted to teach him that. She wanted to teach him that, and that, you know, you can walk around, you know, portraying, you know, kind of huffing your chest, if you will, huffing and puffing out your chest as if you care less about anything that's going on. And a lot of us do that. We walk around as if we could care less. In reality, it really does. And so we are, in essence, entrapping ourselves, enslaving ourselves. And so it becomes, you know, a little difficult sometimes. And so I want to know, what do you think about, even though you have freedom, and we, even with us today, we have freedom, but are we really free? Are we really free? Are we just pretending that, you know, are we just pretending that we're free? So think about that. And Jacqueline Wheelock, if you're on, can you press 1 for me? Are you really free? That is my question. Are you really free? Because I don't think the character, he was really free. I don't think he was free, and it shows. And so we today, I don't think that we're really free sometimes, even when we walk around and we, you know, we say we're free. If something, whether it's your past or something bothering you or something going on, I don't think that we're ever truly free unless we really, really give that thing up. Unless we really, really give that thing up. So what do you think? What do you think? I'm about to bring someone on the line, but I want your opinion about freedom and how we walk in freedom, or do we ever really release the thing? Because another key thing, that the statement in the book that I really, really liked was, it said that I discovered no matter the atrocities committed against me, no one could enslave my spirit except me. And so that's true, because even the word says that he who is free is free indeed. So even God, Jesus, he gave his life so that we could, you know, live sin free and be free. But do we free ourselves? Are we really free? Are we really free? You know what? 1491, I want you to answer that question for me. I'm coming to you right now. Good evening. How are you this evening?
Okay. I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm well. So, you've been listening, and what do you think about my question about being free?
I think we live in a country where we have opportunities and liberties available to us, and to a certain extent, we are free. We can come and go as we please, do what we want to do for the most part, but, you know, it's all in your mind. It's all, your mind is the only thing that can really hold you back from doing and being whatever it is that you want to be. So I think we are free. I think we are free. That's what I think about that.
Okay. Well, as far as slaves, when if you were thinking back into slave mentality, as the book went, are you, because some were free and some weren't, and did you see 12 years of slaves?
No, unfortunately, I never got a chance to see that.
Okay. Well, 12 years of slaves, it was a free man who was captured and brought back into, I don't know if he was born a free man or had always been free, but he was free and then was sold into slavery. And so was he free? So if you didn't watch, I can't really ask that question. But thank you for answering the question about freedom. That you raised a good point. Please continue to listen. Thank you so much. We are talking about A Most Precious Gift by Jacqueline Wheelock. And unfortunately, our author is not with us tonight, so we're just taking some questions. 8766, I'm coming to you, and then 0067, I'm coming right to you. Thank you so much, Precious. 8766, tell us your name and where you're calling from, please. Hello, are you there?
Yes, this is Juanita Mansfield. Talking about that 12 years of slave, yes, he was free in his mind. He never let them enslave his mind. He was slave in his body, but he kept that freedom in his mind.
So was he born into slavery and then was able to buy his freedom, or was he always a free man?
I think he was always a free man. I saw the movie, but when it started, it just showed him as a free man.
Right.
I don't remember him being set free or anything. He was free. His family was free.
Actually carried around freedom papers, and his freedom papers were burned. And so there were slave catchers in his area. He had his business, his own home, and he was able to walk around freely. So even though he had those freedom papers, when they were burned, no one knew that his papers were burned. So because had they known that, they could have snatched him up instantly because there was no proof. They knew he was a free man, but they were trying to figure out how to steal him and take him because they thought he thought too much of himself. So, but it was a slave mother who was in charge of the kitchen, and once she realized that those papers were gone, he then became a slave to his own mind because that concerned
right.
him. And so she was trying to get him to get away from just because they may get you into captivity. No one can take your mind. You cannot, but you. You are the only one that is enslaving yourself. So that's what her name was Mama Tavy, and that's what she was doing. She wanted him to understand that, you know, because he loved the slave. Her name was Dinah. He loved her, but he was so furious with her because she cost him his freedom, and he could not figure out how to get that back. So thank you for your input. We are going to go right to 0067. Tell me your name and where you're calling from. 0067, you're on the air. May I have your name and where you're calling from? 0067, are you there? I'll come back to you. So, that is one of the things. Even now, even though we are not living in slavery as they knew it 200-something years ago, we are still enslaved. There are different types of slavery, different methods of slavery. And unfortunately, you know, I think we play a big part of it. I want us to talk about getting free, freeing our minds. Free and freeing our minds to the things that actually hold us captive. You know, and it doesn't have to be modern day slavery. Now they have the sex slavery. And so that's what I want us to discuss. That's what I want us to look at, because slavery doesn't just involve someone else having control over you. Slavery is actually your mentality, what you feel, what you're doing to yourself, how you are entrapping yourself. Let's see if 0067 is with us now. 0067, you're on the air with us. Are you here with us? 0067, you're on the line. Okay, so that's what I took from the book, which was actually very well written. I enjoyed it. I'm sorry that our author is not on the air with us this evening to discuss it and see which direction she was actually headed in, but I still want to get her book out there and, you know, promote her book and push A Most Precious Gift, because I actually enjoyed it. Because I like books that kind of make me think too, and so it did make me think. I was not just thinking about the slavery aspect of it, but just how we enslave ourselves. So, I'm sorry. Denora, if you are on the line, I'm coming to you right now. So if this is your line, please respond now. Denora, are you on the line with us? Denora? I'm hoping with Denora Boone. And so hopefully Denora will come on. I have some questions of her. So she's going to fill in. She's going to answer some questions about what she thinks about slavery and the freeing of the mind. It's good to, I like to talk to Christians and about slavery and how we enslave ourselves, even as Christians. So, no, Denora, I'm not able to hear you. I have you off mute. So, let's try Denora. She is on the line with us. And so, I'm going to bring 5766 on the line. Let's go three deep in a moment. Yep, we're going to go three deep. Juanita, I'm coming back to you. Christians enslave themselves.
Yeah, I think you can be enslaved by anything. Like you say, your mind controls your actions, so anything, you can be enslaved by, I think, anything. Food, alcohol, tobacco, anything. If it controls you.
Oh, so you think slaves, well, you think that's a good point. If it does, because the whole thing for a slave master is to control its subject. So you think food controls us? Or do we allow
food? We allow it. I think the way we think about food, anything that we want and can't do without, it controls it. It controls our mind, because it has to start in the mind.
And that's exactly what Mama Tavia was trying to get Jonathan to see, that in his mind, as long as he was free in his mind, there, it didn't matter about the free papers, although those were important. And she actually had a copy. Those were important that he had those. But the slavery was actually, he was starting to really enslave himself because he was starting getting paranoid. He was starting to become nervous. He wouldn't leave. And so it really was, he was becoming a victim to his own mind. And so I'm glad you did say about the food, because I say this all the time, I find that a lot of people don't think that food consumes us, and that food, and this is going off a little bit of slavery, but when it consumes us, and that's all we think about, and we eat nonstop, and we eat past our point of fulfillment, that it becomes then a sin because it's gluttony. And so they think, you know, sin, it's okay because it's just food. It's just something that you're eating. And so what do you think about that? Because, and I'll say why I said this, because when we were watching last week Empire, that started up a great deal of controversy, the homosexuals and telling homosexuals that they need to come out of that sin. Because did you see the finale?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Did you see the rap battle when he battled the rapper?
Right.
And
he
said
he
that
shut him down.
Yes. And he said his sin was no greater than his sin, and his skin was not better than his skin. And so, you know, I made comments about that, and everyone kept saying that I was condoning the action of the sin, because I've been saying just because someone is having sex, or whether it's with the same sex couple or out of marriage, is no different than someone overeating, lying, talking about people, gossiping. There's no difference. It's no difference. So what do you think? Because I took a lot of heat on that. So what do you think about that?
I think we put it sin in categories because we're supposed to follow the law of the land. If we see back then, but we don't look at it that way, but it's breaking the law. So if you're breaking the law, you're sinning. So I think we as people category sin.
Yes, we do. And no sin is sin in God's eyes. But my thing is, I don't have to condone what someone does to say what's right. And I think that, you know, just because I was happy when Jamal said what he said, when he said, your sin is no different than my sin, no greater than my sin, or your skin is no different than my skin. Because I spoke out about this way before Empire even showed that season finale. I said, you know, I'm overeating and I'm sinning, but don't judge me because you're drinking, you're having sex or whatever. You're doing the same thing. It's still a sin. It is a sin. So you don't have to condone a person's lifestyle, but when they say what is right, then it doesn't matter whether it came from someone who practices something different than you or not. If he was right, he was right. So it doesn't, I don't care if it came from Jamal. And so I said on Facebook, you know, I told them, you know, the word said that Jesus is just like the woman at the well. They were trying to stone him, stone her, and Jesus said he was without sin, cast the first stone. Well, they had to walk away. So one of my friends said, But he also said, go and sin no more. But I, so my comment to that was, if you can tell him or her to go and sin no more and you don't have any blight in your eye, then okay. But as long as you're still doing whatever you're doing, just because your stuff is covert and they're overt with their stuff, but because your stuff is covered up in the dark and no one sees actually what you're doing, so you feel like you can tell them, go and sin no more, but you're still doing your mess, you can't do that. You're still wrong. You're still sinning. And you can't judge him when you're not perfect, when you're not doing right yourself. Denora, are you with us? What do you think about this?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hello?
Okay. Yes, we're three deep in this conversation now.
All right, because the kids were in my left ear. The kids were in the left ear. I was trying to get them calm, and then you couldn't hear me. And I was like, wait a minute now, Lord. Okay.
So, tell me what you think about that. I want to hear your take.
On the sins?
Yes. I want to hear your take on both, on the freedom and freeing, we're enslaving ourselves, and the Empire finale.
All right. Let's see.
This is my friend and my sister, Denora Boone, author Denora Boone, who we've spoken with before. And she, I put her on the spot. I love you, girl.
Yes, you did. We'll talk about that later, though. How you just threw me under, you greased my back up and slid me on up under the bus, but that's all right. So, okay, I was trying to listen and hear. I heard about Empire and with Jamal, you know, coming out, which was, you know, I just love people the way they are. Because I have no heaven or hell to put them in. So my opinion on what they do with their life and how they choose to live it, that's with whatever relationship they have with God. I can't, you know, judge them for what they do. I can't say that is wrong, that is right. I can only do what God tells me to do. So for me to sit there and judge someone else and knowing that my sin may not be the same, but it's still a sin, then I can't judge anybody else because we all fall short. So until we, you know, we make it in, we're going to fall short of his glory. So there's no way for us to sit here and say, oh, because you're homosexual, you're worse off than I am because I have this certain sin. We all sinning. So we can't do that to people. We just have to love them where they are and accept them for who they are and worry about our own selves. That's how we get trapped into being captive to, you know, the thoughts that we have. If we just let everything go, let God do what he's going to do, just believe in the relationship that you have with God, believe in his word, then you won't be held, you know, captive. We do that to ourselves.
Right. And hellbound, because that's what you're, mm-hmm. cause you're judging. And so, and I wasn't shocked by the comment. I wasn't upset by the comment. I thought that I was receiving text messages, all kinds of messages, and, you know, little side conversations, you know, but I saw it all. And it's really, but I said last week, well, actually I said 2 weeks ago, if I believe wholeheartedly in what I believe, then whatever you say is not going to sway me or persuade me to go otherwise. I will not back down unless you bring me irrefutable proof,
mm-hmm.
without any... You know, it can't be any, you have to have a very good persuasive argument for me to actually change my stance on something that I wholeheartedly believe in. So, you know, and it was stuff said that, you know, I'm trying to dog a minister. No, because I never said it was some. It was never. I never pointed a minister out directly. Never said their names. Never said anything. And that's why I also clarified English. I gave a little English lesson. When you say you in a forum, it does not single out one person. You is plural. So you take it at how you want. So if you feel guilty about it, you feel guilty about it. But you means collective as well as singular. And so I explain. No, because see, I also know what the word says. So I'm not going to say, oh, that minister, this minister so-and-so did this and you were wrong. No, I'm not going to do that because I know what the word says about speaking against, a man of God. So I'm not going to do that outright. But I don't believe that, and I never once said I condoned the activity. I said he was right. Your skin, if you are living and you human, you're doing something against God, whether you are overeating, drinking, sex outside of marriage, sex and you married to someone else and you having sex with that other person's wife or husband, lying, gossiping, that is all in the Bible. Mm-hmm. But because you are doing it behind closed doors, you think that you're, no one sees your sin. But it doesn't matter that no one else sees what you're doing. God sees and knows. And I think we're going to be very shocked when judgment comes.
Yes.
Very shocked. Very shocked. So, what do you think about freedom? And we are, my mom brought up a very good point that, whether it's food or whatever it is, if it's consuming you, it's enslaving you. So what do you think about that?
I think that's a good point. I feel like if whatever it is that we focus on other than God, really, as long as we have him at the forefront, he can direct us on which way is the right way to go. When we have things that, consume us, like relationships, friendships that aren't healthy for us, those things enslave us. And until we're really ready to say, you know what, I surrender all to God, we're going to continue to be in that way of life, being captive to that. I really think that, when Jesus died, he died for our freedom. But we have so, worldly things that we just find it hard to fight against because, it's spiritual. A lot of people don't understand that. And I just feel like once we get to that point where we just have our minds focused on God, doing what he tells us to do personally, because we're not, holding anybody else accountable. He has to do that. We have to hold ourselves accountable. So our actions and the things that we do, if we focus on him, he'll guide us and lead us. It's hard, though, because not all the time do we want to do it. So we have to be really set in, I'm going to do this, I'm going to live this life the way he wants me to, and I'm going to feel free about it. But we can't do that because there's so many things that's going on in the world that, tries to turn us away from that. And a lot of times we fall victim to it, and it consumes us. But then we have to, try to come back and be like, okay, I can't let this take over me. But we have to make that decision that we really want to change. Nobody can make us be captive, held captive. We.
Oh, your phone cut out. Mom, are you still with us?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
What do you think about what Denora is saying?
Well, I agree with what she said. Like I said, it's all in our mind. If we want to be controlled, then whatever we're wanting to have, we're going to be controlled by it. But if we decide that's not going to be that way, then it's up to us. It's Like I said, it starts in the mind. We do what our mind says. So we have to get hold of that.
That's true.
And Jeanette, what is that saying that they comes up every year or every 2 years that they have to sign for the black people, something like a paper to bring in law that we won't be slaves? What is that? You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do know what you're talking about.
They just were talking about that on somebody's show, so it must have came up again. And I don't understand that. Why can't they just make it that it doesn't have to come up to affect us anymore? I don't understand that.
It doesn't.
Why don't they put it in law?
It is a law. That's why it keeps coming up. But I think it's an old law on a book that the Constitution, I think because of the way the Constitution is written, the law is on the book, but the Constitution protects us from that law. So I think, and I don't understand why, and Denora, do you know what she's talking about, the law, I forget where, after, I think like every 200 years or so, I forget how it's worded. I saw it a few years back, but it never did, because it's never going to come.
No, they were talking about it on some show last week.
Yeah, they talked about it a few years ago too, but it's laws, because there are plenty of laws that are actually still on the books, but because of the way the Constitution is, those laws don't really affect us because the Constitution protects us in a different way. So, and they're still on the books for whatever reason, but, and I don't know why they keep those laws like that. But they don't mean anything because I think the Constitution cancels those laws out. I think it's more like a conversation piece or something to just rile people up, which is what it does every time they bring it about. But it does no good. I mean, even with that, even if they thought that they could put you back into slavery, it doesn't encourage these jokers to get up and go vote or register to vote.
Right.
And Denora, you jump in whenever you want, jump on in. But it doesn't encourage them to vote. It doesn't. Now, what I do believe is what we're seeing is now, because although they can't enslave us, I see now that they're doing a bunch of things against our constitutional rights. So with the police, you know, the police are, you know, killing the black males. Even the civilians are killing the black males. There was just a young man found hung where they're saying that they don't know if it was suicide, but I believe his hands were behind his back, so I don't know how you hang yourself with your hands behind your back or whatever. So now they're doing things like this again. So it's almost taking it back to how the old Jim Crow things were doing, where they're doing the lynching and, you know, the midnight rides and all that stuff. So I do think that they're doing that. I don't think that they will ever have the ability to enslave us again, no matter what they have on the books, because I think the day they try to do that there will be so much civil unrest and so much uprising, because especially with this new generation, you remember New Jack City, so now this New Jack generation, that'll never happen. It will be too much bloodshed if they even thought, but you know, they are enslaving us in other areas. So it's financial enslavement, it's education through, you know, education enslavement. So they're enslaving us in other areas, not just, you know, by making us go work. But then again, corporations like McDonald's and Walmart. They are. That is slavery. The wages that they pay, and now Walmart is talking about increasing their wages, but the wages that you're paying and you're refusing to bring them up to, you know, you just pay them to the bare minimum, well, you get what you pay for. You get the service that you're paying for. So it is with the minimum, with some of the minimum wages and the Walmart workers making, what, $8, $9 an hour, and all the work that they do, that is. It's another form of slavery. It's a financial enslavement. So, Nora, are you back with us? Jump in whenever you want to. So, yeah, but I have to do some research on that, Mom, because I haven't heard that again, but I know I heard that maybe like 5 or 10 years ago. Maybe about between 5 and 10 years ago, I heard.
Yeah, maybe 5 years ago. I was still working when it came up.
I remember that, and I think it comes into play like every 15, 20 years, so, or maybe less than that. I'll have to research that and probably talk about that on Thursday, because I do remember hearing that just a little bit. So, but I even think that even the sports, that's another kind of slavery to me. I think even with the way that, and yes, it's all entertainment, and I love good basketball games. I love a good football game. I'll even watch a little baseball. But I think that with them paying them all of that money, and then when they lend their voice to something, like when they try to make them apologize because they came out with their hands up, don't shoot, and they, you know, tried to demand apologies, or when the L.A. Clippers owner was saying the things about his players, you know, that he provided them food and lodging, and, you know, he did all of this, and Magic Johnson didn't, I forget what Magic Johnson said, but I didn't like what he said, but I felt that that's just a modern-day slavery. But they're paying you a nice price to shut up and just do what they say. So because I think that when you have that much notoriety, that much clout, that much fame, even though, and you don't have to necessarily be a role model, but I think that the world will see things in a whole different light when you use your notoriety, especially on a platform like that, especially if you all come out together, you use your notoriety and talk about the situation that happened in Ferguson, where they're still having issues. And, you know, and I'm not saying this to say it was good that those police officers were shot last week, because that's not, I don't think that you should do violence with violence like that, especially when you're trying. I do think that we should go back to the Martin Luther King era and begin to do and rally like they did back then, because that's the only way you're really going to get justice. But they're shooting and, you know, shooting police officers, and, you know, that's only going to bring more crime, you know, more instances where, you know, civilians and young black men are shot and killed, and then there's no repercussion. There's nothing, even when they try to bring federal cases, even the federal court has come down and said, you know, no, he acted within his limits. When clearly you know he didn't. You know, so I think that the sports teams and all of that is a modern day enslavement, and that they don't use their clout and their notoriety to speak out on things that really matter. And that's the young boys that are watching them play basketball and trying to buy their shoes. They buy in their shoes, they're watching them play basketball, they're trying to emulate them, but when those boys are being shot and killed on the streets, they're doing nothing. So they protested a little bit, but then the protesting stopped with the football players and the basketball players. So I'm gonna have to look into that, Mom. We'll probably talk about that on Thursday, because that, you know, that still the Ferguson stuff still, because the Ferguson situation is still going on. They're still protesting. They're still looking for answers. I think the police chief resigned, but I think they're looking for the mayor to resign or someone high up resign, but they're looking for more resignations because it wasn't handled properly.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what I think. Well, I'm going to have to Google that and look into. I wish I could remember exactly what that law is. I remember it came. It might come out every 10 years, because I remember it in school, where it came up in high school, maybe my senior year or junior year.
Well, it came out when I was still working, so it has come out maybe less, maybe 10 years ago or less, because I was working. So
it hasn't
been that long ago.
No, because I think it comes up every 5 or 10, I think it comes up about every 10 years, because I think I remember seeing something on Facebook about it too, where the law, I can't remember. I'm going to have to look that up. I'm going to have to yeah, the Norris on Facebook. it never fails. Whenever the Norris comes on, if something happens with the phone, because you know she starts to preach a little bit. She's an evangelist. I don't know why she doesn't accept her calling, but she preaches, and then something happens with the phone. So when we had her on talking about her book. This happened.
Is she not on now?
Calls kept on. She's on, but we cannot hear her. So, but I did put her on the spot. So, but she's still listening. And so, well, although we did not have, I don't know what happened to Chapel when we locked. I checked my email today, so I didn't get anything in my email stating that she wasn't coming on for anything. But the show goes on. That's what they say in Hollywood. The show must go on. I did speak about the book, and we talked about some other things, and we're gonna continue this conversation on Thursday after I research this information. So, Mom, I thank you for letting me put you on the spot too. Because you didn't know I was bringing you on.
Yeah, you did put me on the spot.
You didn't know. And thank Jerry. Although he dropped off the line, I thank Jerry for letting me put him on the spot, too, and answer my question. But I think this was a good conversation. And see, the evangelist still got her word out. So, Denora, I thank you. I love you, Mom. And thank you guys for tuning in and sticking with us, even though we did not have the offer, but it still was a good conversation. So I will see you guys next week, and tune in Thursday, because we're going to talk about some more of
this. All right, bye-bye.
Good conversation.
Love you.
Thank you. Love you, too.